Barbara, I'll tell you, there is a way to win. There's a lot of ways to lose. But, you know, we talk quite a bit in this message about idolatry. And, folks, I'm not talking about you having a Buddha in your house. I'm not talking about you, you know, having a statue of Mary or Joseph or even a crucifix on the wall. I'm talking about those mental, spiritual idols. And I think they're more pervasive in the body of Christ than a figurine on the table or something hanging on the mirror of your car. I really believe that. So that. Those are the, and some of you, I want you to look at this, because this is pervasive in the body of Christ, and it shouldn't be there. That's the idol of fear, or the idol of anger. Those are the two trump cards the devil brings to say, well, I'll fix your game. I'll just put down a higher card than you have. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wipe you out.
Well, and so many people today, they've got idols of shopping. We've got so many stores now all around us continually. And money is an idol to a lot of people. I've got to have money. Also, there are idols of food everywhere you look. I mean, when Jesus and the disciples were walking, they'd get grain from the fields. There weren't stores at every corner like there are nowadays. So we have to really be watchful that idols don't spring up around us and become more important than hearing the voice of God. Darren, that's probably one of the most important things in our life. We've got to be willing to hear that still small voice, if need be. And
I'd like to talk just a minute about the Apostle Paul.
Okay.
He said in this wonderful scripture, in this whole chapter, now here's the only time in scripture that I know of where they dedicated the whole chapter to one subject. And it is the subject of the spirit walk, or a subject of prophecy, or tongues, or understanding what's going on in the spirit. But in verse 18, Paul says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, why was he, among all apostles, so deeply educated in the spirit world? I believe it's because he had a propensity to knock on doors, to press into the spirit world. Now, they were all baptized in the Spirit. They all had that relationship with Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say this to you. Why don't you be that unusual person that can pray and get mysteries out of the Spirit? In verse 2 of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, it says, one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. Sometimes the only way you're going to make it is with the mystery explained to you by Holy Spirit. Now, you get this wonderful experience by asking for it. Ask Jesus, who is the baptizer. Say, Jesus, I want the baptism of Holy Spirit. I want the inner man of my heart to be energized by his presence and his infilling. And then the Bible will start really making sense to you. Then you'll begin to get rhema from God. Not just the logos, not just the actual words you read on the page, but you will start hearing words inside your spirit. Mm. You'll start getting direction and peace and comfort and joy. And your walk with the Lord will be a lot more powerful. You'll go from being impotent and a weakling to being a supernaturally strong person.
Well, I believe in this world of instant everything, Darren. We believe that once we're born again, we're instant prophets, instant teachers, instant apostles, instant evangelists, instant pastors. And, you know, one of the keys with Paul, he spent 14 years alone. He only saw, it says, in Acts, or was it? No, it was in Galatians that I was reading this last week, that he saw James and John. And those were the only brothers he saw during that 14-year period where he was training in the things of God. And he was unlearning what he had learned as a Pharisee and a zealot of the law. And now God and Holy Spirit were pouring into him things that he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament with. So I believe instead of being those Johnny jump-ups, you know, those little tiny flowers, they come up everywhere, but then they die quickly. They jump up quickly, but then they die quickly. And I've seen so many churches fail and so many, callings fail because people have been too fast at saying what they were and of getting into the ministry that God had called them to.
Well, see, one of the things that we do, unfortunately, is we accuse God of being unfaithful. Mm. Now, in Deuteronomy 7:9, I quote this quite often, but it says, know this, that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to the thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. Hey, let me tell you, since that was spoken out by Moses, we've not gone through 1,000 generations, so that covers me and you. Mm. We're in the deal. Now, in Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, you shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it remains this day. Now, that covenant is still in effect. Now, if I'm talking to a person that's been raised poor, or they've gotten over there and they've been strangled by lack and financial failure and so on, to get them turned around, I've got to help them change their meditations. But I can't do it for them. You know, I can't slap them hard enough. I can't preach loud enough in their ear. I can't yell at them enough. They're going to have to make a decision. I'm going to go with the Word of God. Now, Joshua 1:8 says, if you meditate day and night in the law, in the Word of God, you'll be prosperous and successful. The fact of the matter is that person that's strangled by poverty is meditating day and night on lack. They don't realize that lack is a spirit. It's like a demonic personality that comes to their house to beat on them and say, you'll never get ahead, you'll always be short, there's more month than there is money. I mean, all those dumb sayings. You know, I'll always be poor, so, you know, I've got off to work I go, as that crazy bumper sticker says. Why don't you change that and say, God, I'm living in prosperity. Now, you start saying that when you're still overdrawn in your checkbook, and let your words help you crawl up out of that hole so you have an excess and a surplus instead of a deficit. Now, can God give you the power to make wealth? Absolutely. Just a while back, I saw one of those shows where they go in and they make a documentary. And they made a documentary in the late 1800s, when a man said to his friends, I want to invent something that people will have to use. They will come back to get it all the time, and it'll be a consumable, and I'll become a wealthy person. His name was Gillette. Well, he invented the Gillette razor. Now, it was very awkward, and it was, you know, kind of a prehistoric thing at the beginning. But, you know, he kept perfecting that thing. And men found out, instead of using a straight edge, they'd rather use a safety razor, one that didn't, you know, slice them up and that kind of thing when they were shaving. Now, I remember as a young boy, my dad used a straight edge. And he had a strop and he had a stone, and he would sharpen that thing and put it up on his cheek and pull it down and shave, and put the soap in the sink. And he used one of those little things, you know, where you had to stir around in the soap. You know, a shaving mug, they called them, and put that on their face and, you know, steam their face and do all this stuff. Well, Gillette made it easier. Well, now you all know about Gillette razors. They're consumables, but they're also kind of expensive, but all us men like to use those. Now, of course, there are people that come along with electric razors and say, this is better than the blade, and on and on. Well, I like the blade. I like my Gillette razors. Now, what if you could meditate in the Word, and Proverbs chapter 8, and I'll look back here and find it, but in the King James Version, it says he can give you witty inventions. Well, I can't tell you how many people come to me and say, I got an idea, Darren, I got a wonderful idea, nobody's had this, and sometimes they share it with me.
Well, sometimes they're really stupid ideas, too. Excuse me for interjecting. But anyway.
But you know, if we get hooked up to the Spirit of Wisdom, which is Holy Spirit, and we begin to pray, and we begin to ask him, do you think he knows? Absolutely. You were telling me about, I think it's Mark Cuban, who owns the Dallas Mavericks, bought all the rights to plasma TV. Well, now, I just read in a paper this morning that this direct television is a big deal.
Well, no, he doesn't own the rights to plasma TV, but he's doing all of the, I can't think of it right now.
In software, the technology?
Yes, the technology. He has the technology in software for the high definition for plasma. So he's got the software that they're going to need for all these different programs for the future of plasma TV.
Let me say something to you, Miss Barbara. He owns it.
Well,
without him, they won't get it done, right?
That's probably
okay.
True, yes. Sorry.
So he's got an idea there. He's got a corner on the market. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just love it when I'm right.
And this is a worldly person, Darren.
Yeah, it is.
This is a worldly person.
But you know something? He's using his mind, and he's not taking no for an answer. And see, some of you just, you so easily give up and so easily quit. You know, I've got one deal I've worked on for over 20 years. It's finally paying off. But it took a lot of persistence and a lot of tenacity. Some of you don't have any of that, and you need it.
Well, and you had to get doubt, fear, and unbelief out
That's
of your
right.
heart as you were praying.
Amen.
Yes, absolutely.
I had to fight the spiritual battle. It wasn't in the natural. It was in the spiritual. Mm-hmm. But he goes on to say here in Proverbs 8, take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. Also in Proverbs it says, knowledge or wisdom is the principal thing. That's what you need. If you've got a money problem, you've got a wisdom problem. So get over there into Proverbs 8, for wisdom is better than